Welcome to the Leading and Learning Through Safety podcast, where we discuss the technical and people side of safety. Safety should be your primary leadership tool for discovering more about your people and culture. Your host is Dr. Mark French, also known as the Safety Dude. Mark is a credentialed, experienced, and passionate professional with experience in automotive, food, chemical, nuclear, e-commerce, and energy sectors. He is going to share information and anecdotes from years of experience in the people side of safety based on industrial and organizational psychological theories. Safety is so much more than a technical skill. It is a motivational need that defines the culture of your organization. Employee safety is a meaningful business practice that makes a direct impact on everyone through direct behavioral engagement. That is why your organization should be using safety as a key method to learn about your culture and lead your teams. Thanks for joining this episode as we talk through current issues in people management and how they impact our everyday workplace.
And welcome to this episode of the Leading and Learning Through Safety podcast. Hello, I am your host, Dr. Mark French, and I am so excited to be back with you again in the podcast, and thank you so much for joining me. Lots to catch up on, and I think a couple of things to follow up on, actually, this time around. So a few weeks ago, even maybe further, we talked about that the Department of Labor, OSHA specifically, is looking at changing their walk-around rules. So what did that mean? It meant that if you're represented by a bargaining unit, the National Labor Relations Board has a very specific way of designating what is your labor representative, and then they have the right to escort and be part of that walk around. Whatever OSHA is doing, they would be able to walk around with that inspection officer. The tricky part is, what about non-contract bargaining units? So a non-union facility, what would that look like if you were allowed to bring in anyone, not just someone from inside the facility, but what if you were allowed to bring in a union representative, or even the examples were given, like you wanted an independent safety professional or an industrial hygiene professional or something of that sort from the outside brought in, that the inspection officer would be able to allow that and help facilitate through that. A lot of interesting facets that came along with it. And just a little bit ago, right at the end of August, OSHA did release a news release about the fact that they are actually publishing this. They have made the notice of proposed rulemaking of who can be authorized to act as a representative of the employees during a physical inspection. Now, this does go through a comment period, and there is more to that, but a lot of it is OSHA overstepping their boundaries? So let's look a little bit deeper at what this means. So basically it says that the employees may authorize an employee or a non-employee third party if the compliance officer determines that the third party is reasonably necessary to conduct an effective and thorough inspection. It also changes the third-party representatives are not limited to industrial hygienists and safety engineers. The third-party representatives may be necessary because they have skills or expertise. So basically, it opens the door for whatever is needed. And so the background is that worker safety and participation is part of the OSHA Act, and so therefore, this is part of it. This allows that participation that is given that. Nothing changes, so I mean, I'm not panicking yet by no means, because there's a lot this is going to go through, a whole lot, because this certainly shook up the safety community, especially the legal part of the safety community, as people started talking about, what does this mean? I mean, even I consider it, because I think about the implications of where this could take us from a standpoint of how do we do it. There's been debate on where this will go. Like, will it be defined in the field operations manual? And I will say, if you haven't gotten a piece of the field operations manual is a safety manual. I would highly recommend you breeze through that monster document because it gives some insight to what the inspector is going to be doing, the compliance officer. The other concern is the power that it's giving the compliance officer. Not that they don't deserve some empowerment, not that they don't deserve respect, but that's a big responsibility to be able to walk into a non-union site and make a determination of what's needed for that site. And you could easily choose a union safety person, like someone who is part of the union designated to be in charge of safety for the union to bring in, that would be able to see this non-union environment. And there's where the concern is for people who are concerned about contract bargaining, is like, does this give them an advantage of some kind? Not going to get political. I'm not diving into that whatsoever because that's just dangerous. I want to stay with the safety part of this. But also any outside expert, whether or not they really are a safety person or not, it's like, how do you determine the need of the employees to bring that person in? I think there is the biggest question. Now, the comment period is probably going to be absolutely interesting as people send in and comment. I can only imagine some of the fun that will be there asking those questions. And then secondly, even if it goes through, there's going to be legal challenges that OSHA is overstepping their boundaries. They don't have the right to do this. This wasn't part of the original act that they were going to allow anyone to come in based on just general expertise without guidance. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of debate that we will follow together. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes because I am kind of disappointed in it personally, because I think there's more important things that OSHA should be addressing. I think heat stress should be the number one priority. They should be cranking out a heat stress policy and legal doctrine for us, because that's important. I think resurrecting the ergonomics portion that was lost to us some years ago, and a lot of years ago now, I think that there are more important things out there that are affecting us as safety people and affecting workers, affecting employees, that are dangerous, that other companies are ignoring because it's not a law, and which blows my mind. Just because it's unsafe, but it's not a law, so we don't have to do it. Doesn't matter if it hurts people. Doesn't matter if it kills people. That's crazy to me, but that's been the life of the industrial worker since the industrial times. We look back at some of the greatest disasters, and it was because productivity was absolutely king over a human being. And so they allowed people to get hurt, maimed, killed en masse because of that. And so when I think about is this walk-around rule where I would like to see OSHA focusing, not really. I really would hope that there would have been different focus, something that was more pertinent to my everyday work that I could really see that improvement. I'm not sure. I understand it. I vaguely have the idea of why we're going this direction. But I think my biggest, strongest concern here is where is that big oomph impact? Is this really going to make the difference that we need to help protect people's lives? And I see this as more of an administrative burden than I see anything that would help someone actually in the field working that could say, I deserve better. I deserve to be safe. Therefore, I need this law in place. And there's still so many laws that we need, so much guidance we need. And this one here to me feels like it was just kind of pushed through and not really something that's I see a huge benefit for. Speaking of laws that we need that we don't have yet, we're going to talk a little bit about that on the second half of the Leading and Learning Through Safety podcast.
TSDA Consulting. Learn you. Lead others. The Myers-Briggs Type Indicator is an amazing tool. Problem is that it can be easily misinterpreted. Dr. Mark French is MBTI certified and ready to help you discover your inner strengths. The MBTI assessment can help with team building, stress management, communication, conflict management, and so much more. Individual and group sessions are available to help you discover what makes you great. For more information, visit us on the web at tsdaconsulting.com.
And welcome back to the second half of our Leading and Learning Through Safety podcast. So just moments ago, in case you don't remember, we were talking about the OSHA walk-around rule and how I felt that I understand it, not going to be political about it, but think there are things that are more important, one of those being a heat stress policy. That would be great to have a law or better guidance on heat stress. And here's an example. One day before that news release came out, there was a news story, again, end of August, and this is out of Memphis, that a distribution center died amid hot conditions, adding, and this news story talks about how it adds to the debate over the risk to worker during heat waves. Now, I'm going to stop there. The story is better than that. It carries into like the disappointing pieces of some workplaces. But it's not just the heat wave. The heat comes every summer, and every summer, I've been on this soapbox so many times. Why do we act like we get so dang surprised every summer when it gets hot and people get sick and people die from the heat? It happens every year. It's a little thing called summer. Some summers are hotter than others. Absolutely. Some are more dangerous than others because of that heat. But it is still going to get hot. And it's still going to be dangerous for certain workers if we don't take precautions. And here, what are those precautions? They say rest, water, shade. Well, why? Why would I do that if it's not a law? I know that's a silly question because we're going to do it no matter what because it's the right thing to do. But some companies don't. And here's the example. So the leaders from the local union said he was trying to cool off in the produce section at times. So this was a grocery fulfillment distribution center going back and forth between dry and evidently a frozen foods or a cool food section. So trying to go there and cool off. The Memphis Police Department found the individual dead at 8:13 p.m., slumped over his pallet jack. I got so few words about that. I got a lot to say about overall, but very few words about that tragedy. And it was a tragedy to see a human being working, sweating, to lean over his pallet jack and die right there. So the local union said they've been trying to negotiate with the company of more rest breaks, more water breaks, and not getting anywhere. Of course, safety of our associates are our top priority, according to the company. Okay, no way. There were signs. Who was watching out for this? Now, step one, I get it. Putting someone in a super hot warehouse working the afternoon shift where it's the hottest, where you go from like midday to evening and it is super hot and you're moving product and evidently by hand in this case, because it was near a pallet jack, hard work. And there should have been some engineering controls. To me, the company has a lot that needs to be improved on. This organization needs more to protect their people. Secondly, who was watching? I'm not just saying your brother's keeper here. I'm not saying that this was one of those peer behavior based, like I checked on him, he was okay. Where was supervision? Where was management? When you could look around and probably see that this human being was suffering. Because you don't just jump from like, I am perfectly well, having a great day, being productive, to dead, slumped over a pallet jack in just moments. That's a process that you get there. Even the story talks about that, that some of the fellow coworkers, and I wonder what the conversation was around what they saw and how they reported it no details there. I'm curious, like, did they bring it up? Did they step in and be like, dude, just go sit down. Just stop. Just don't worry about it. Just don't do it anymore. There could have been something going, I don't know there, because that's, I know I've told that story before of where I've seen people just step in for someone else. You're going to the break room and I don't want to see you again for 20 minutes. Just go get hydrated. And if you still don't feel well, let's figure out how to get you home for the day. Let's do something different. Let's get you in to see the nurse. Let's get you into the first aid station. Let's call the 1-800 number for non-emergency care, maybe, for companies that might have remote first aid assistance, something like that. Let's do something more than just let you continue to suffer. And to see this could happen and someone not see something, say something, do something. And talking about during these times of the year, should there be more breaks? Should it be negotiated? And in this case, being that it was a labor union there, they're really pushing during that time of the year, they need breaks, more access to cool areas, more water, because it's a dangerous condition. And they feel like that they have to negotiate that to get it done from the organization, and the organization then says safety is number one priority. It's hard to defend that safety is your number one priority when you're when the police come in and find someone dead in that condition. Not to say they're an evil corporation, but there was an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to admit that maybe something wasn't perfect. And I know we never admit that in public, because then the attorneys would just eat us alive. And I think that frustrates me too, is that it's hard to be open and honest when you know that those words will come back and maybe bite you for being open and honest and vulnerable. That's a weird thing, isn't it? When you talk about how do we do this in an ethical and moral way. And that's a whole nother thing. I'm not going to even dive into that this week. Woo, that one would be, wouldn't that be a rough one? So here we are at the end of our time. And I think I want to close with just basically saying, this is where we need focus. Where are the hazards to our team? How do we get better involved? How do we jump in there and really make a difference to our team? And I appreciate every single safety person out there doing that and trying to make that leap. Thanks for joining me on this episode. And until next time we chat, stay safe.
Thanks for listening to the Leading and Learning Through Safety podcast. Join the online conversation at www.markafrench.com. All opinions expressed on the podcast are solely attributed to the individual and not affiliated with any business entity. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes. It is not a substitute for proper policy, appropriate training, or legal advice. This has been the Leading and Learning Through Safety podcast.